Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities that we have to be with one another. We're grateful that you're here. We understand that there is a lot of weather out there, and certainly we're understanding of those things, and we're glad that each and every one of you have gotten here safely. This evening, happy Valentine's Day. This evening, we're going to be focused on the heart. You know, we're familiar with the heart, particularly, I think, a lot of times, when you hear that word, we think of the physical. You know, we think of that muscle within us, you know, our beating heart. And how hard does our heart work? You know, it never stops. It just keeps pumping and pumping, even when we're sleeping. I mean, it's really one of those really amazing things if you just stop for a few moments and consider the heart and how intricate and important it is to the human body. You know, sadly, many times people have heart problems, and a lot of times they won't even know that they have an heart issue. My mother is a good example of that. I think when Andy was about 8 years old, I was actually leaving Sandyville, and I got to the interstate, and there was a message on my phone. Kyle, come to the emergency room. Well, I went to the emergency room, and I got there, and my brothers were there, my father, and they said, "We think your mom's having a heart attack. We took her in for emergency surgery." You know, I wasn't too comforted when they said, "We think she's having a heart attack," you know. I'd like a little bit more confidence, you know, what's going on? Well, they didn't really know until they had gotten out that one of the veins or arteries going to her heart is genetically smaller. She's lived with it her whole life. And probably just because she was going through kidney stones, she had a little bit more stress going on. It put a little bit more stress on the heart, and they kind of registered as a heart attack. You think about that, a heart problem that you don't even know about, you know. Certainly physical things are scary, but as Christians, I think we have a confidence and a security in our relationship with God. But have you ever thought of a spiritual heart problem? One that you might not even know about. Certainly, that's one that could keep me up at night. A spiritual problem that I don't know about. Well, how can we eliminate that? How can we make sure that we don't have any spiritual problems that we don't know about? And I think the answer is that we need some reflection. A lot of times we're familiar with our strengths and weaknesses, but sometimes we're not. And sometimes it's hard for us to admit our weaknesses. So this evening, what I encourage you to do is as we reflect on our spiritual heart, let's look for our own spiritual problems. Let's try to find some of those issues so that we can go to work. Certainly there's surgeries that God can give us. Certainly there are medicines that God can give us to help us with our spiritual heart. But if we can't acknowledge that those problems are there, we might be in trouble. The heart has four chambers, the physical heart. Now the spiritual heart doesn't really have chambers, because when we're talking about the spiritual heart, you know, really what we're dealing with is the essence of yourself. Perhaps another way you can describe the spiritual heart is your mind. I mean, your spiritual heart is you. It's those internal thoughts. It's you in so many facets, in so many respects. Your spiritual heart is you. But what I'd like to look at is three chambers of our spiritual heart. We say the physical heart has four. Well, good lesson, Pastor Reese. So we're going to go three spiritual chambers to your spiritual heart. And what we want to do this evening is we want to dive in and we want to take a look at your heart. We want to look at your spiritual heart. We want to dig in there. We want to see what's in there so that we can diagnose any problem. But I really want you to think of it like a room. The first spiritual heart area that we're going to go to this evening is our priority chamber, or our priority area of our heart, our spiritual heart. And I want you to think of it as a legitimate room. I want you to go there in your imagination. You're walking into this room. This is your priority room. This is where you put your priorities. They're on the wall. They're in the room. They're stuff in the center of the room. What is in your priority room of your spiritual heart? You know what's interesting about this room that we're about to enter is that when we think about who can see into this room, if I ask you what's most important in your life, or ask some individuals what's most important in your life, they might realize that there's a disconnect, because there might be an answer that you say outwardly, but if I went to inspect this room, we might find some things in it that might be surprising. What's interesting is our spiritual heart affects all aspects of our life. What we hold in our heart, our spiritual heart priority-wise, is going to affect our actions. So in some sense, I can see into this room just a little bit because of your fruit. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, it says, you will know them by their fruit. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. We can make some judgments about people's hearts from their fruits. But I don't really want to go there this evening because really, at the end of time, the only people that are really going to know what's in your heart are you and God. See, I can make some predictions. I can say, oh, well, look at the way they're conducting themselves. It looks like their priorities are this. But really, I can't get into that room. But you can. You can get into this room. You can see what is in this spiritual chamber of your heart, the spiritual chamber of priorities. You can see it and God can see it. But the reality is I can't. We're dealing with your heart. You have to look at yourself. In many respects, I can't get in there, even though many times I might want to. I can't. I'm knocked out. I can't see in your spiritual heart. Now, I'll see fruits and I'll see products, but at the end of the day, I can't actually dig in there and see what's really, truly there. What is in this chamber of your heart, the priority chamber? When you walk in, what you're going to find is this area is going to be filled with material and spiritual treasures. You're going to walk around and you're going to see on the wall material and physical treasures. You're going to look around the floor and you're going to see physical and spiritual treasures. You're going to see in the middle of the room physical and spiritual treasures. What is in this room? I want you to try to picture it. What's on the wall? What's on the floor? What's in the center of the room? Do you see your accomplishments of life? Do you see your education accomplishments? Do you see some of your degrees? Do you see some of your possessions? Do you see some of your achievements? Do you see plaques or recognition of achievements throughout your lifetime? What is in the room? Are there vehicles? Is there equipment? Is there material things? What is in this room? What is in this room is what matters to you most. What's in your priority room? Have you taken a look? You know, the Bible warns us of this area of our heart, the area of priority. He warns us what we put into this area of our heart because He knows it's going to affect our actions. He knows if we attack the priority area of our heart with material things, accomplishments, pursuits of life, what will happen is we'll lose our spiritual focus. In fact, I think we have a perfect example of somebody that we could say their heart would be filled with more physical things than they would spiritual. We find it in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Now in context, Jesus is about to have a parable about a rich farmer. And this rich farmer has accumulated so much wealth, his conclusion is that he needs to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns, so he can accommodate all this wealth. And he is so focused on the accumulation of these material things. And he says, once I build these barns and once I fill them up, the Bible actually says, I'll be at ease. And how does that story end? Well, cool. This night, your soul will be required of you. It's not that we can't have worldly things. It's not that we can't have possessions. It's not that we can't have accomplishments. It's not that we can't have these things. But if you walk into your priority room, and that's all you see, big up front in the center, is all you see is your degrees. And that's number one. Or if you walk in there and all you see is your possessions or your accomplishments or those things, if that's what you see when you walk into your priority room, the Bible warns us of such a heart. The Bible warns us that if our priority room, if the priority chamber of our spiritual heart is focused on worldly things, it will draw us away from Christ. And what's interesting is there's only two people that really, truly know what's in this room, God and you. Now, I could try to take my best guess, but at the end of the day, I'm going to leave a lot of it to God. Now, as a brother in Christ, I am going to try to watch what's happening. I'm going to try to intervene and try to help in any way that I can. But, at the end of the day, it's you and God that knows what's in this room. God knows what's front and center. I think of James chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you. You need to realize that at the end of time, that God is basically going to do a room inspection of your heart. He's going to go into your priority room and he's going to go, what did you prioritize throughout life? What's on the wall? What's on the desk? What's here? What's there? What's big in the priority room? What's big in the center of your spiritual heart? We kind of focus on the negative, but perhaps what would a Christian see? Or what should a Christian see if they walk into the priority room? If they walk into their priority room, what should a Christian see? Well, maybe we would see in the center of the room a desk with an open Bible, pages that are worn, perhaps a notebook with a pen and a pencil beside it. And perhaps on that desk where you have that open Bible and the worn pages and the highlights and the notes and all that, perhaps beside it is a calendar. And on that calendar, Sunday and Wednesday are circled as a priority. We understand things come up, don't we? We know there's sickness. We know there's weather. We know things come up. But in your heart, is it a priority to be with the saints? Is it a priority to study? Is it a priority to have a spiritual focus? What's in your priority room? In Psalm 1 and verse 2 it says, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Is that Bible highlighted? Is that Bible phrased? Is that Bible have notes? Is the Bible used? Or when you walk into your priority room, you can't even find the Bible. The Bible's closed, the Bible's brand new, the Bible's not even in the room. We threw it out a long time ago. What's in your priority room? In your priority room, is there a place worn on the floor where you knelt in prayer? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Certainly we understand the idea of that, is prayer is to be a part of a Christian's life. Certainly there's public prayer among the saints, but certainly there's a private prayer between us and our Lord. We go back to that desk where we see that worn Bible and we see that calendar with Sunday and Wednesday circled as a priority. We understand that things happen. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. There's been a lot of discussion about that passage throughout the course of time, and I don't know if I'm right necessarily, but I always think of it as my obligation as a husband. I could be gone for a weekend, but it doesn't mean that I'm forsaking my wife. Right? But there is a line that I eventually cross, right? If I'm gone for a long, 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 long period of time, I don't write home. I don't call home. I don't check in. And I just let the time go on and on and on. Eventually, it crosses a line where it's like, hey, you're kind of not really fulfilling your obligation as a husband, are you? You're kind of forsaking your wife. There's a line there. I'm not saying I have the perfect line for it. But certainly I always compare it to my obligations as a husband. Am I forsaking my wife? The lesson is about your heart. You can leave me out of that. Because I can't get into the chamber. I can knock, I can try to pound, but at the end of the day, I cannot get into your spiritual heart, this priority chamber. I can't get there. You know what's there. God knows what's there. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it talks about God being able to see all things. All things are going to be open and naked before God. He knows all. He sees all. What's in your priority room? Whenever I think of the priority room, I think of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's in this room? What are the collections? What are the artifacts? What's in there as you go? Well, we can't spend all evening in the priority room. But if you go into your priority room, is it more spiritual focused or is it more physical focused? I'm not saying a Christian can't have physical things. I'm not saying a Christian can't have wealth. But the question is where do your priorities fall? Perhaps there's some work we need to do in the priority chamber of our spiritual heart. Number two, the love chamber. We're going to another chamber now. We looked at the priority chamber of our heart. Are you more worldly focused or are you more spiritually focused? Now we're moving to another area of our heart, the love chamber. Now this chamber is going to be different. When you walk in, you're not going to find items kind of like we did in the last one. In the love chamber, what you're going to find is feelings and reactions. You're going to walk through the love chamber, and what you're going to find is your feelings and reactions. Your feelings and reactions to what, God? When I picture this room, I walk in and I see pictures all around. Of course, I don't have a good picture of God, but just imagine a picture of God. And as soon as I look at that picture, I start having some feelings and reactions towards God. As soon as I look at the picture of Jesus, I start having some feelings and reactions. As soon as I see some pictures of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I start having some feelings and reactions. I start seeing pictures of my enemy, and I start having feelings and reactions. In the love chamber, you have all these people that you have reactions to, that you have feelings about. Question, when you walk into this room, are they warm feelings or are they cold feelings? Are there people that as you go through your room and you start to see people, there's certain people that you don't even want to look at. Certain people that you're holding grudges against. It's not fun to go to that room. Because you haven't let go of things of the past. I'm not saying I haven't done bad things to you. I've got people that have done bad things to me. But when I see their face in my love room, what's my feeling? What's my reaction? You know what the Bible says about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15? It says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So when you're looking at these individuals, you have to understand that you could walk into this room, it could be a very cold and icy place. Because when you look at these people, you don't have feelings that are good. It's all negative feelings. And a lot of those negative feelings are because of grudges. Not only grudges, you go into this room, perhaps you have a hit list. You have a hit list of people that you're going to avenge. That you need revenge, that you need vengeance. These are people that if I ever have an opportunity, I will get them back for things that they have done to me. Is that what the Bible says? Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In that same passage in Romans chapter 12, it says, repay no man evil for evil. When you walk through this room, what are you feeling? In this room, do you find grudges? In this room, do you find vengeance? In this room, do you find a hit list of individuals you need to get back for? Or, even better, there's some people that you look at and you have a lukewarm attitude towards them. These are indifferent. I can't care what happens to them. Good or bad, I don't care. Indifferent. The Bible talks about a lukewarm attitude. And Revelation talks about a lukewarm church that has an attitude. Let's switch it to the other side. What should a Christian see when they walk in? Should they see grudges? Should they see opportunity for vengeance? Should they see a hit list? Should they have a lukewarm attitude when they walk into this room? You know, talk is cheap. But the Lord that we serve, He kind of painted and really, I mean, He gave us the example when it came to this. I mean, God is love in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. But it tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the love that God has is a love of action, a love of sacrifice, a love that's not convenient. You think it was convenient to go to the cross? You think it was convenient to be spat upon? You think it was convenient to be whipped? Wouldn't it be very easy for Jesus to say, hey, you whipped me, you cut me pretty good, so my forgiveness is not going to go to you. I'm going to hold a grudge. You're going to be on my hit list. You're going to be on my revenge list. And every time I see your face, that is what I'm going to think. Is that what we should have? See, God's love is a love of action, a love of sacrifice, a love that is not necessarily at all times convenient. And why do we love as Christians? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it tells us because God first loved us. In fact, when we start to think about this love, when we go into the room, we start to realize that if we're holding grudges, if we have these feelings of revenge, if these are things that we kind of have to deal with and kind of work through, we might say we might have some heart problems in the love chamber. Maybe some of us have some problems in the priority chamber, but some of us have some issues in the love chamber. We've got some people that need to be forgiven. We've got some people that we've got to get those feelings of revenge out. and try to figure out how we can do some good to these individuals that have done us so wrong. Do we have the love that God wants us to have? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 it says that whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, that's an interesting idea, because if we're using that word heart again that we're talking about this evening, we're going into the love chamber, we're going into the spiritual heart of love. It's talking about love, it's talking about the heart. It says, how can you have these good things, see your brother in need, and not act? Act in a sacrificial love, act in a way that will help and assist. Is the love of Christ there? In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A sacrificial love, a love of action, a love that is many times hard, many times not convenient. You know, it's hard to carry out that love if you're carrying grudges. It's hard to carry out that love if you've got a hit list. It's hard to carry out that love if you're walking around trying to see how you can get vengeance or revenge on an individual that has wronged you. The love of the Bible clearly is the love of action. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God says, I will show you my love. Talk is cheap. And certainly when we go to the love chamber and we start to look at these people up on the wall, what are your feelings? What are your reactions? When you see God, what's your feeling? What's your reaction? When you see Jesus, what's your feeling? What's your reaction? When you see your enemy, what's your feeling? What's your reaction? When you see that family member, what's your feeling? What's your reaction? A lot of these people, underneath their names, have grudge. And really, as a Christian, we need to work to cross that out and put forgiveness. It's not easy. And certainly, there's discussions to be had when we talk about such things, but certainly, when you walk into your love room, it can be an icy and cold place, because it's a place of grudges, it's a place of the unforgiven, it's a place of revenge, it's a place of lukewarmness. When God tells us it should be a room of forgiveness, it should be a room of good deeds towards our enemies, it should be a room of patience, it should be a room with an attitude of love. It's a hard room. You can't stand there all evening, though. We've got the priority chamber. Is it more worldly focused or is it more spiritual focused? We have the chamber of love. Is it more focused on forgiveness or grudges? And then we're going to our third one, which I find to be quite a challenge, the thought chamber. Now this is different than the other chambers. The priority chamber, you walk through and you saw all these items. The love chamber, you walk through and you saw pictures of individuals around the wall. When you walk into the thought chamber, you know what's in here? The good, the bad, and the ugly, the thoughts are posted all around the wall. The thought chamber. I think God has given us some protection in relation to our spiritual heart. He kind of lets us have access to it, and He lets Him have access to it. But if we opened that up this evening, would you be embarrassed? I tell you what, whenever I think of the thought chamber, I'm very thankful for the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because certainly there's some thoughts in there that shouldn't be there. Thoughts that need to be eliminated. But in this room, your thoughts are all around. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But also, in the thought room, I want to go a step further. It's not just the thought, but it's also words. Really, you know, if you think about it. And you start to think how intimately connected your words are to your thoughts. The Bible makes this connection. So when you're thinking about the thought chamber is our thoughts, but also the words that are floating around in our minds. And what's interesting is the Bible tells us that those thoughts that we linger on most that are there will eventually come out in our speech. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's that saying? It's saying, a good person, you know what they try to put in their heart? They try to put good things. And you know what ends up coming out? Good stuff. A bad person puts bad things in their heart, and you know what happens? What comes out? Bad stuff. But that end is pretty powerful when it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, there's nothing that you speak that you haven't thought first. A lot of times we've thought of 100 times before. We thought of that vineyard that we were going to tell somebody to get back at them, right? We worked on it a long time. We rehearsed it 25 times in our mind, and then eventually the emotions take over and it flies out. A word that shouldn't have been said. A word said out of anger, out of emotion, a word that shouldn't have come out. See, the thought room, it's got all the thoughts, but it's got all the words as well, and those are intimately connected. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." You think about that. In Matthew chapter 15, it's saying that all this stuff is coming from our heart. The physical, no, our spiritual heart. All our actions come out of the heart. Well, what things come out of the heart? Evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. I mean, the big long list. It all starts up here. And God tells us to protect our heart. He tells us to protect our mind because He knows what can come out if we're not careful. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, it says, "We're going to give an account for every idle word." Every idle word. We've got to be careful with our mind. I'll tell you, I think the mind can be a very, very, very dark place if we let it be. The interesting thing is Christ doesn't want us to be a dark place. In fact, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said He's the light of the world. He can be the light of your spiritual thought chamber. You know, Christ is trying to tell you what to think about. He's trying to tell you what to dwell on, but a lot of times we dwell on the absolute opposite of what God wants us to dwell on. And I'm not saying it's not a challenge. I think each of us, as we look, as I look at myself and I look at my spiritual heart, as I look at the priority chamber, as I look at the love chamber, as I look at the thought chamber, I look at it and I'm like, hey, I've got some work to do. And perhaps you feel the same way too. But our mind does not have to be a dark place. Even when the world is dark and all these dark things are happening, you can actually have a safe haven in your mind because God tells you what you should be thinking about. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." See, when you walk through the thought chamber, you've got to really work on it. There's some ugly thoughts that are there. And you know what you have to do? You have to start taking them out one at a time and trying to replace it with good. Try to focus on those things that are pure. Try to focus on those things that are lovely. Try to focus on those things of good report. I'm not saying it's not a challenge. Always found Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 to be interesting. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you think in your heart? What are your priorities? That's going to affect your life. The way you view people and your reactions, that's going to affect your life. The way you think each and every day, that's going to affect your life. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I want you to think about these three chambers of your heart. You have the priority chamber. Is it more worldly or spiritually focused? We look at the love chamber. Is it more focused on kind of forgiveness or grudges? And then we go to the thought chamber. Is it focused on all the negativity or is it focused on the more positive things of life? Jesus knew how important your heart was. I think that's why He only really gives two people really the keys to it. You and Him. But the problem is you get to choose who gets to come in. You can welcome in a little Satan if you want. You can welcome in some bad thoughts. You can hold those grudges. You can mix up your priorities. You get to decide what comes into your spiritual heart. He has given you a lot of tools. He's given you medicines and medications and all these things. But He knew how important our heart was. In Matthew chapter 5, we have the sermon there where Jesus is going and He talks about murder. He says, "Yeah, I don't want you to murder, but you know what I want more than that? Is that you don't hate." Guess what? If you don't hate, then guess what? It's never going to manifest in murder. And then He goes after adultery, doesn't He?
Because after adultery, it says don't even look at a woman and think those thoughts.
Because you've already committed adultery where? In your heart. Jesus knows how important our spiritual heart is. He understands that we have a lot of power in respect to it. But certainly there's many areas of our heart that we would be embarrassed of if we had to show them to everybody. But we're going to give an account to God in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. But the thing is that we can work on our heart. And that God's grace and forgiveness is going to be working on our hearts as well. But certainly we should take the opportunities we have to do the best we can to work on our hearts. Do you have some surgery you have to do on your spiritual heart? I know I do. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Your version might read a little bit different. But I like that version. Guard your heart with all diligence. Are you guarding your heart? Are you keeping your heart safe? It's one of those few things that we have so much power over. If we have the key to our heart, God can see into our heart. We have a lot of power over these areas of our heart. And in James chapter 4 and verse 7 it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We can get the devil and a lot of those things out of our heart. It might not happen in a day, but we can work at it each and every day and be a little bit better. But here's the question as we end our reflection. If you're going to rank those, which area do you struggle with the most? We're not all the same, are we? Some struggle with the priority chamber more than the others. Some struggle with the love chamber more than others. Some struggle with the thought chamber more than others. It doesn't make any of us, I think, better than each other. We all have different struggles. But do you know the weaknesses of your heart? Do you know your heart problem? Guard your heart with all diligence because it will impact your life. You can't tell me that you change the things in your priority room and it will not affect your life. You can't tell me that you do some work on your love chamber and it doesn't affect your life. You can't tell me that you work on your thought chamber and it doesn't affect your life. It will. Guard your heart with all diligence. Perhaps this evening your heart is not right with God. You realize that there's some issues. Maybe there's some things that have happened more publicly. They were in your heart, but then they manifested in a physical way, and you need to confess those things. You went off the straight and narrow path. You need to come back. Perhaps you've never come to Christ the first time to get that blanket forgiveness, that as we work and we try to walk in the light, as He's in the light, and we have that continual forgiveness, perhaps we need to become a Christian this evening. Whatever your concern or issue or any questions that you have, we'd love to help you any way we can. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you need a prayer for this church, we ask you please come as we stand and sing.